What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, that trade that the New York Yankees made for Jazz Chisholm has really paid off so far. I mean, he's only played in, what, like five games so far, and the dude already has, like four or five home runs and is really just making a huge difference. And the Yankees are actually, they're on fire right now. They're maintaining a tie right now with the Baltimore Orioles in their division. But, you know, Chisholm, he's turning out to be a good find for the Yankees. So let's go ahead and discuss the week that was of baseball. Monday night, actually, not only did Jazz Chisholm have a good night, but I mean, it was a two-home run night for a few other guys as well. Let's go ahead and start off with the Yankees game. The Yankees smashed the Philadelphia Phillies 14-4 on Monday night. And Aaron Judge, he had two home runs. Jazz Chisholm, he had two home runs. And it was just an offensive force from the Yankees against the Phillies. Nonetheless, I mean, the Phillies, they're kind of slumping right now. But, I mean, I don't feel like that's going to last a while. But, I mean, the Yankees really just smashed them all week. We'll talk about another game as well, but this was a big game and a big game for Jazz himself, just because you know, he's just got traded to this team. He wants to make sure that it doesn't look, because you know, Chisholm's actually been a very solid player since he hit the league, and he played in Miami. So unless you're a real baseball fan, you don't really know who he is. But I know he's been a really good player for the Miami Marlins. But sometimes there's these guys who play for shit teams and they look really good, but then when they finally go to a good team or a legitimate team like the New York Yankees and have the spotlight on you 24/7, sometimes they could shrivel up and fade away. So far, that has not happened to Chisholm. And also on Monday night, the Cleveland Guardians, another team that is just playing fantastic baseball right now, they beat the Detroit Tigers 8-4, but it was all about Jose Ramirez, who also had two home runs on Monday night. So like I said, it was a good night for guys wanting to get two home runs, because Jazz, Judge, and Ramirez, all three of them had two home runs apiece on Monday night. Then on Tuesday, the Yankees beat the Phillies yet again, 7-6, and Jazz Chisholm had two home runs again. So he had two nights in a row, two home runs against a damn good Phillies team. This was a much closer game, but the Yankees really just ran away with it in the end. And then the Yankees ended up sweeping the Phillies in this matchup here. And, you know, the Phillies haven't won a series in the last, like, couple of weeks. So I don't know what's going on with the Phillies, but like I said, I don't really expect this slump to last much longer with them, but the Yankees really needed this type of win over a good team like the Phillies. Then on Wednesday, we finally get to talk about my San Francisco Giants. They've been a terrible, terrible-ass team this year, and they pretty much got rid of some decent, you know, they traded away Jorge Soler. You know, they picked him up in the offseason, but they ended up trading him away earlier in the week. And then it kind of looked like Snell was also going to be traded as well, but he ended up staying. But we really haven't discussed my Giants much, because there really hasn't been much to discuss with them. Well, finally, there is something to discuss on Wednesday night. Logan Webb, he pitched a complete game shutout in a 1-0 win over the Oakland A's. Logan Webb's pretty much the only good, reliable player the San Francisco Giants have had in the last like 3 years. He's the only good thing about this team. That's it. Sorry. Got a dry throat. But, take a swig of water here real quick. All right, sorry about that. Had a little bit of a dry throat there, so had to take care of that with some water. But anyways, back to Wednesday night with baseball. Jackson Holliday was called back up with the Baltimore Orioles. You know, they've had zero issues scoring runs all season long. Jackson Holliday, he came up earlier in the season and didn't do too well up here. So they sent him back down to the minors. Then they called him back up. And in his first game back, he ends up hitting a home run. But not only is it a home run, it's a grand slam. So it's looking like Jackson Holliday, of course, you know, he is a top prospect for the Orioles. And so far, looking like the top prospect now that he is back. And in that game, it was a demolishing by the Baltimore Orioles over the Toronto Blue Jays, 10-4. Last night, Bobby Witt Jr., he plays for the Kansas City Royals. He is an up-and-comer, and he has just been having a phenomenal season. He, you know, his first three seasons in the league, he's been doing something else that nobody in the history of baseball has ever accomplished. Last night, he hit a home run, and he is the first in his first three seasons ever, the first player to ever do this, have 20 home runs and 20 steals in his first three seasons. So he is living up to all of the hype in a win for the Royals, 7-1 over the Tigers. And the Royals are a team that you really got to look out for come playoff time because they're young and they do this. They are just getting on a roll and they're just playing really well. And Bobby Witt is living up to all the hype with 20 home runs and 20 steals so far on the season. And in not so good news, the Chicago White Sox have broken a club record this year. And it's not a good record. Usually when you talk about records, it tends to be in a positive light, you know, like with Bobby Witt Jr. being the first baseball player ever to have three seasons straight where he starts his career off with 20 home runs and 20 steals. That is what you want to hear. But you don't want to hear that you are the Chicago White Sox and that not only are you the worst team in the league by a lot, by a long fucking shot, but you have now lost 17 games in a row. Yeah, that's right. I said it. 17 games in a row. The Chicago White Sox have not won a game in about 3 weeks. And that is a club record for the most losses straight that their team has lost. 17 in a row. And hey, we'll see how far they go because this team is terrible. But wow, that is very terrible when you lose 17 straight. So needless to say, I doubt we're going to see the Chicago White Sox in the playoffs this year. I don't know, anything can happen. But I don't think they're going to be turning that around anytime soon. And speaking of the playoffs, since we're in August, we're a couple months away from playoffs, we could still talk about division leads and who's where when it comes down to what the standings look like right now. And so let's turn to the American League. Who has the best record in the American League? Right now, that's the Cleveland Guardians. The Cleveland Guardians not only lead the American League Central, but they are leading the American League right now. So they are just kicking ass this year. And they currently have a 6-game lead right now over the Kansas City Royals, who, like I said, are a hot team. They might be able to overtake the lead, but I kind of doubt it. Cleveland's been very consistent this year, and I definitely wouldn't count them out. But I kind of feel like they've got that division on lockdown. Then in the American League East, right now that's tied. The Baltimore Orioles and the Yankees are tied right now for the league, for the lead in the East. But the tiebreaker right now would go to the Orioles, so they technically have the lead. And then in the American League West, it is also a tie between the Houston Astros and the Seattle Mariners. Technically, the Astros have the lead, so they are winning that division. But it's going to be a battle in both of those divisions for sure. And then the wild card, the top three wild card teams right now are the New York Yankees, the Kansas City Royals, and the Minnesota Twins. Then the National League, the top team in the National League is the Philadelphia Phillies right now. They lead their division in the National League East over the Atlanta Braves by 6 games. Then in the National League Central, the Milwaukee Brewers hold a 5.5-game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals, who are another team who could potentially take that over. But I kind of feel like the Brewers, they've been fairly consistent, but you never know what's going to happen in the second half of the season. And then in the National League West, the Dodgers have a 4.5-game lead over the San Diego Padres. And so right now, the National League wild card top teams are the Atlanta Braves, the San Diego Padres, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are starting to get hot. You know, this is the team that represented the National League in the World Series last year. They really haven't had a good start to this season, but the last month-ish, they've been starting to get back to their old form. Their pitchers are starting to put it together. They're finally starting to score some runs. their playmakers are starting to make some plays, so you might want to be on alert with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Then turning to the NFL, we have a couple of storylines that are developing over the last couple of weeks through training camp. Now that training camp is underway, we are finally starting to see some, shifts in what could potentially be the start of the offseason. So let's turn to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have a quarterback controversy. It's either going to be Russell Wilson, who's going to be the starting quarterback, or Justin Fields. At this point, like, just looking at the way players are reacting and just kind of the way things look on the practice field, it's looking like Justin Fields is the guy. I wouldn't be shocked to see him start over Russell Wilson, who I kind of feel like we all thought was going to walk right out there and be the starter. But, Russell Wilson, he hasn't been the Russell Wilson of old when he was winning Super Bowls up with the Seattle Seahawks. Then, of course, he went to Denver, had that terrible time with them, and was kind of looking to have a resurgence here in Pittsburgh. But then they went ahead and went after Justin Fields as well. And it's looking like, to me, just judging from the practice field and how all the other players seem to be respecting him, I'm looking at Justin Fields as potentially, if he doesn't start the season off as a starter, I wouldn't be shocked to see him be the starter at some point. But I think he's going to win the starting job week one. That's just my look. And then another quarterback who's, I think, having a bad time right now is Drake May with the New England Patriots. So far, he is not looking good in camp. And, you know, a lot of people kind of write off training camp as not a big deal. It actually is a big deal. That's one of the reasons why you see guys like a Brock Purdy have some type of emergence, because he practiced well. Even though he wasn't getting the game time in training camp and against like the practice squad, he worked his way up and just kept practicing. And when you practice well, it usually translates well onto the field. Now, Drake May is just a rookie, but he does have Jacoby Brissett on his ass. And Jacoby Brissett, yeah, he's not the greatest quarterback of all time, but he is a seasoned vet. He has been a starter in this league, and he usually excels. And while I don't expect a lot from the New England Patriots this year, you don't want to hear that your rookie is looking like Mac Jones, because that's what some people have actually said about Drake May from what they've seen in training camp. So we may even see a quarterback controversy up in New England once again, and this is with a rookie quarterback. So we'll see what happens there. And now let's get on to the top five list this week. What this list stems from is, it's actually finally official. Reggie Bush got his 2005 Heisman Trophy back, as he deserved. If you don't know, basically, years ago, Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy taken away because he was being paid under the table. And this was prior to NIL, when it became legal for college players to finally be paid. And he was getting paid, and yes, he was breaking the rules, but taking away his Heisman Trophy was just absolutely stupid, asinine, and lame, in my personal opinion. He finally has gotten it back, and not only did he finally get it back, but it finally is back on display at USC. And so with that being said, I am a Texas Longhorns fan, if you did not know. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. And one of the greatest games of all time was actually the 2005 National Championship. 2006, technically, because that's the year it was in, but it was for the 05 season. Texas Longhorns beating the USC Trojans in one of the greatest games ever to be played. But if you are a Texas Longhorns fan, and I know it's not just Longhorns fans who feel this way, but a lot of us feel that that 2005 Heisman Trophy belongs to the one and only Vince Young, the quarterback of the Texas Longhorns that season. So with that being said, I decided to be petty, and we're going to do the top five Heisman snubs, because there are a few. Usually, it's hard to argue against who won the Heisman Trophy. I'm not saying anybody who won the Heisman Trophy deserves to have it taken away. No, you had a fantastic season. That is what the Heisman Trophy is. It is that one season. You don't have to win anything. You just have to be the best player on the field. And yes, it could be argued between who's who and whatnot. But basically, if you won it, you definitely were one of the top five people on the field. But there are a few that you could argue, like, I think somebody else should have won that. So I decided that's what I'm going to do. The top five Heisman snubs, beginning with number five, the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner, going to Reggie Bush. Should have gone to Vince Young. I mean, it was obvious who was the best player on the field that season. It was absolutely Vince Young. He had 3,026 passing yards and 26 passing touchdowns with 1,050 rushing yards and 12 rushing touchdowns. There were so many games where he changed everything about the game. And there were multiple wins that the Texas Longhorns had in his tenure where he literally put the team on his back and just won that shit. Now, don't get me wrong. This Longhorns team was stacked with talent, especially on the defensive side of things. But Vince Young was a game changer. Now, don't get me wrong. Reggie Bush, an electric motherfucker, one of the best players on the field, if that dude's out there. But the thing about Reggie Bush is he was a highlight reel. And he was a game changer, but that was a stacked-ass USC team as well. Hell, he wasn't even the best running back on the team. Lendell White was the best running back on that team, and y'all know it too. Don't get me wrong, Reggie Bush, I respect the fucking shit out of him and his career, and he deserved the Heisman Trophy for sure. But in my opinion, statistically, Vince Young mattered way more to the Texas Longhorns than Reggie Bush did to the Trojans. He, of course, mattered, but he wasn't the playmaker, the only game-changing playmaker on that team, whereas Vince Young was the game-changer, put everything on his back and won multiple games by himself, including that national championship game. Now, we did have some great defense go down, but had Vince Young not given the performance he gave, there wouldn't be no national champions for the Texas Longhorns in that year. But hey, he didn't win the Heisman, but he did win what mattered the most, and that was the championship. So even though Reggie Bush won it, we got the championship, bitch. All right, number four on my top five Heisman snubs, in 1997, when Charles Woodson won it, Peyton Manning should have won it. It was just obvious that Peyton was the best player on the field that year. He had 3,819 passing yards and 36 passing touchdowns. It was just, he came back basically to win the Heisman Trophy. And not taking any thing away from Charles Woodson because, you know, Charles Woodson, one of the only defensive players ever to win the Heisman Trophy, but it's not really just his defense. He was a great special teams player as well. He was an exceptionally dynamic player, and he just was something you have not seen. And I kind of feel like it was just that year. Everybody was like, let's give it to the defensive guy. It's kind of hard to argue against him. You know, also, they won a national championship that year as well, so that kind of plays into it. So, but Peyton Manning, to me, was just the best player, hands down, in that season, who really, I mean, just say it out loud, 3,819 passing yards. That's a lot of fucking yardage, and he just made a huge difference, but it is kind of difficult to take that away from Charles Woodson because he was an exceptionally dynamic player who had a fantastic season, but in my opinion, Peyton Manning should have won that one. Then number three on my top five Heisman snubs, the 2004 Heisman Trophy winner was Matt Leinart. Should have been Adrian Peterson. And I just told y'all I am a Texas Longhorns fan, and Adrian Peterson played for the Oklahoma Sooners. So if I'm given an Oklahoma Sooner credit for shit, that means they're fucking good. Adrian Peterson, this was his freshman year. Now, I know all about him because he played in the Big 12. So I'm watching this dude just fucking mow down everybody. I mean, Adrian Peterson is, if you didn't get to see if you didn't see his college career and also his time with the Vikings, like in his prime, Adrian Peterson had the potential to absolutely demolish the all-time leading rushing record over Emmitt Smith. It's just injuries happen, and that's just what it is, because Adrian Peterson was a bruiser motherfucker, and he started out that way. He was like that at Oklahoma. He was mowing motherfuckers down. He was carrying people to the fucking end zone. That is what he did. And in his freshman year, he rushed for 1,925 yards and 15 touchdowns. Say it with me, people, 1,925. That is almost 2,000 fucking yards that Adrian Peterson almost had. And don't get me wrong, Matt Leinart, they actually won the national championship over the Oklahoma Sooners in that year. So Adrian Peterson not only lost the Heisman Trophy vote, but he also lost the national championship. But Matt Leinart was just the leader of a good-ass team. Not trying to take anything away from him, but Adrian Peterson just was such a dominating force on the ground. I still to this day cannot believe he was robbed of that Heisman Trophy because he was so fucking good. Adrian Peterson just ran angry. And in his freshman year, that's where it all began. And he definitely got robbed of a Heisman Trophy in 2004. Then at number two on my top five Heisman snubs, the 2009 Heisman Trophy. It went to running back Mark Ingram of the Alabama Crimson Tide. He did have a solid year, but there was a motherfucker by the name of Ndamukong Suh. He played defensive tackle for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. That is the only reason why he did not even have a shot at winning this. Because, you know, Charles Woodson had a fantastic year in 97, and he ended up winning the Heisman. Ndamukong Suh had literally one of the most dominating defensive seasons of all fucking time. He single-handedly just attacked people. I mean, it is insane what Ndamukong Suh did in the 2009 season. He had 20 and a half tackles for loss with 12 sacks, an interception, 3 blocked kicks, 24 quarterback hurries, and 11 passes defensed or deflected. In the Big 12 championship game, which they lost, and like I said, I think the fact that Suh played for the Nebraska Cornhuskers played against him. Because if he played for a Michigan or the Texas Longhorns or the USC Trojans, if he played for one of the perennial teams at this time, I don't think it would have been a question that he would have. These stats, playing for the shitty-ass Cornhuskers, by the way, and he, like, just manhandled people in the Big 12 championship game against my Texas Longhorns. This game is just seared in my brain because the Longhorns actually had a pretty good year this year, and Colt McCoy, he just was taking over for Vince Young, and he was, you know, starting to get going as well, and he was sacked 4.5 times in this game by the Ndamukong Suh, who also had 12 tackles. That is his performance in one game. 12 tackles, 4.5 sacks. Now, like I said, Cornhuskers lost that game, but they were in it the whole way through, all because of Ndamukong Suh. And I think he was completely robbed of that Heisman Trophy. And like I said, if he was playing for a perennial team, had those type of numbers, there is no way you could deny that dude the Heisman Trophy. And they did. Because he came in, I think, third or fourth, as a matter of fact. So he didn't even really come close to winning it. But I think that's just simply because he played for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, a nobody team that nobody gives a fuck about. But believe me, since it was in the Big 12, I knew all about Ndamukong Suh, just like I knew all about Adrian Peterson, because I saw these motherfuckers just mollywop my Longhorns on multiple occasions. And Suh is literally one of the greatest college football player defenders ever. And that was a season to remember. But at number one on my top five Heisman snubs, the 1992 season when quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes, Gino Toretta, who is literally known as the weakest Heisman Trophy winner of all time, he ended up winning just because he just went off and had this phenomenal year. But it actually should have gone to Marshall Faulk, who was the running back at San Diego State. He had a season where he rushed for 1,630 yards and 15 touchdowns, and he pretty much looked like the go-to all the way up until the end when the U just really, they just went on a run. Toretta was the quarterback. They were they were kind of the darlings of college football at the time, so they just really gave it to him. But Marshall Faulk, not only was it it was a big slap in the face to him, but like he just was so dominating from start to finish that year. And he would just go on and not only dominate college football, but he would go on and dominate the NFL as well. So I feel like that is the worst Heisman Trophy snub of all time. As a matter of fact, Gino Toretta is the only guy who won out of these five who I would say really actually did not deserve the Heisman Trophy. Everybody else, Reggie Bush deserved it, Charles Woodson deserved it, Matt Leinart deserved it, and Mark Ingram deserved it. While I feel like there was somebody else over them who should have won it, those guys were absolutely deserving because they were just dominating figures, game changers, and either won or competed for the national championship. Gino Toretta is... It's laughable that the dude was even in the running for the Heisman Trophy, let alone won it over Marshall Faulk. So that is my list for this week. Enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you all on Monday.